Welcome to the Spodcasters, the only online sports talk show devoted exclusively to University of Kansas athletics. I'm Kevin Romery, and while most of you might know me as the 6 News Sports Director, in my spare time, I'm a Spodcaster. Each week, you can join me, Journal World Sports Editor Tom Keegan, and show host Andy Samuelson on the Spodcasters at KUSports.com. We offer our creative takes on the latest developments in the KU sports world, plus we offer special guests such as Journal World KU basketball beat writer Gary Bedore, whose insight on the Jayhawk basketball world is unparalleled. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.
Welcome back to the Spodcasters, live from the Spodcasting studio in beautiful downtown Lawrence. Today I'm joined by Tom Keegan, the Journal World sports editor, Kevin Romery, right in front of me here, 6 sports director, and my boy, DJ Wetter. What's up, DJ?
Not much. How you doing?
Is that a fist pound?
We did pound the
little,
fist. Sweet.
A little poundage.
Off to online radio.
Off to a crawling start.
Speaking of some poundage, I'm sure that...
Why'd you look at me when you said that, Andy?
Pound for pound, the best sports editor this side of Mississippi.
A lot of fist bumps were getting exchanged up in Ames from the Jayhawks. Another road win. What do you guys think?
I think they're a lot tougher than they were. I think they're really forming into a team. Here's some guys. Brandon Rush never really was on a team where, at least not in his prep school year, where winning was the focus. It was more exposure. And this kid is real into winning. And Mario Chalmers is playing great. And Russell Robinson, clearly, we said it early on, he's the glue guy. Proved it when he got his second foul, went to the bench. They had a little trouble with the 2-2-1 full court pressure.
He really has seemed to be the glue guy. How about this, Romery? Back-to-back games, those guards have almost averaged 60 points. I mean, think about that in the history of Kansas basketball. A lot of great players. But can you think of, three people that have averaged, guards. Has that happened before? Yeah, I was trying to think back. I'm sure Kirk and Collison, and maybe some situations where some people got close, but
yeah, Kirk, Nick, and Drew, obviously, when you think of a big three, or Wayne, Aaron, and Keith, but not guards. I can't think of a time. Maybe, because you think about the other guards in the past, and Jacques Vaughn, but he didn't score that much. He was kind of like Aaron Miles, and, Jeff Boshi was there with Ryan Robertson, a couple of guys that maybe shot the ball a little bit, but overall, from 1-2 into the 3 spots, I think this is probably the most output Kansas has gotten in quite some time, and those three guys have been fantastic, and not only they – taking care of the ball, kind of. They didn't really do that in the first half against Iowa State, but it's amazing that KU had 13 turnovers versus Iowa State's 3, still led the game. I can't figure it out. I've looked at the stats. I've looked at the numbers. It makes no sense that Kansas got off 13 fewer shots because of those turnovers and somehow still led that game. But, Andy, I think you're right. Those guys have carried the team. They're getting better and better every single time. They're not selfish at all. They're so unselfish, it's unbelievable, and that's why their shooting percentage is so high. These guys are only taking good shots, and unlike the beginning of the season, they're knocking them down. I mean, even Russell Robinson, who historically speaking can't shoot the three-pointer, he's knocking it down. Mario Chalmers started off shooting it bad. He's knocking it down. Brandon, he continues to knock it down. Guy's shooting 51% from the floor in the season, and those three guys are great. Julian, finally getting a chance, playing a little bit better. Darnell's playing a little bit better. I think you can read a lot in to the last 5 guys that were on the floor against the Cyclones, and those were the 5.
Definitely, well, that's been their best 5.
And when you look at it, you look at Russell Robinson improving his shooting percentage, and that's a product of when you're open, when you're wide open, a little easier to shoot. He took some in the lane, hit some tough shots, but boy, a couple of those threes, he had the looks, and that's because his other 2 guards are doing a lot of things to get him the ball. And when all 3 guards are playing well and all 3 of us are a threat, somebody's going to be open at some point, and that's a scary idea for defenses. The other thing I like about the win in Ames is the fact that this team, again on the road, looks really good from start to finish, except for a few minutes there at the end of the first half. This team goes on the road and in some tough places so far, and it turns out Colorado is going to be a pretty tough place to play, and that's a pretty big victory if you keep looking at it. I mean, they're tied for 2nd now in the Big 12, so the fact that they could win at Colorado and then in 1 week go down to Texas A&M, where they're going to have their biggest crowd of the season for KU, then they go into Hilton, where it's always a tough place to play, and they pull out some easy victories, and I'll throw out the stat once again. They still have won by only double digits, and this team just keeps rolling, and they seem to, at least free throw shooting, did it at the end again, and
it was great.
That's going to be a big plus for them if they can keep doing that.
Yeah, and it's amazing that they're leading the Big 12 in 3-point shooting. We thought that was a weakness. It's a strength, and they've been shooting over 50%, 4 games in a row, and you think the obvious reason for that is that they're running better and they're easy shots, layups, but other reasons are, obviously, young guys get a better feel for what's a good shot and what's not, but also, with Mario Chalmers playing more and Jeff Hawkins less, and with Brandon being more assertive driving, They're getting a lot better penetration, sucking defenders in, and kicking it out to open guys. This is not a fluke that they're shooting this well. This is a real good team.
And I'm still amazed by the defense that this team is playing, shooting percentage-wise, leading the nation still in that category. Guys, on Saturday, they started 3 freshmen and 2 sophomores. How does that team lead the nation in field goal percentage defense? It makes no sense to me at all.
That tells you a couple of things. One, that self-recruits athletic players who are always better defenders than unathletic players. And number two, he knows how to teach defense, and he's reaching this team. He really has done a real good job at reaching these guys and bringing them along at the right pace. I was just clamoring. I wanted to see all those freshmen out there early, and it didn't happen. Looks like he knew exactly what he was doing.
Now they're doing it, and they all look fantastic right now. We could only get one of those big guys to do anything on the inside. Darnell, to his credit, though, man, that's the guy right now. Another 13-8, shooting 78% from the free throw line, so he has to be in there at the end. But come on, Sash. Come on, CJ. They got to do something. One of those guys has to just look themselves in the mirror and say, you know, everybody else has picked it up big time since the start of the season. I got to do it. It's my turn.
Do the pro. Go ahead. Sorry. Go.
Hey, DJ, it's your show. Let's go.
Give me another pound. I don't know what's going on. The other problem is the guards have almost gotten so much better. They're surpassing the big men who have been here 2 years. Sasha and CJ could not catch a pass down low. There were some passes right off their
hands. You mentioned that, Tom.
It'll drive you nuts as a KU fan. But boy, just some great passes, and that's what's going to happen when you have 3 guards that are penetrating, as you said, Tom, and just playing so well on the perimeter. They're going to get that quick pass down there. Someone's got to be there to catch it, though, Tom.
Well, you know, and Mario has to do a better job of knowing who he's passing to,
true.
And that's tough. He's such a great creative passer. He left that one ball there in a globetrotter move that Julian Wright or Brandon Rushwood just scooped it up and slammed it home. And Sasha Khan just isn't the right guy to leave that pass for.
Well, let me ask you this. So we've been saying ever since those first couple games where the big guys went off, hey, we need a big guy Kansas needs a big guy to set up. Sorry, I had the DJ Wee here going on. But if
you're wearing your jersey today, okay.
Hey, we're big in North Georgia, Micah, by the way, Spodcasters.
That's Micah.
Big in North Georgia.
North Georgia.
And in California.
Yeah. San Jose area loves it.
Shout out to the folks out there for listening.
I'm born in California. DJ Wetter is born in California, fellas. So
LBC?
Fresno. So not close enough. Something like that.
Okay.
So I'm representing
back
for Cali.
On task.
But, yeah,
in your Micah Downs jersey.
We'll have to get to him pretty quick. But do they really need another big man to step up with his guard play as well?
You look at
perennial teams in the tournament. Guard play is where it's at. Can they just feed off Jackson and Wright?
Guards make the run. Big guys win the tournament. Illinois had the guards. They got second last year. Rhode Island beat KU with those great guards. They didn't end up winning the title. They got to get something from those guys, even if it's 10 points a game and rebounding, just something, catching the ball, not turning it over. They have to get one of those guys to do something.
Because they're so good defensively that you want them on the floor, but they, like Kevin says, they've got to do something offensively or they're not going to be on the floor.
And pretty soon, it's not going to be as easy for those guards. When other teams start figuring out, you know, we want CJ and Sasha to catch it on the block and go one-on-one with our big guys because we don't think they can score one-on-one with our guys. We'll put more pressure on the perimeter, make the guards give it up, and then the KU big guys are going to have to do something. And, you know, if I'm Texas Tech and I'm Bobby Knight, maybe that's something I try tonight. You know, my big guys aren't great either for the Red Raiders, but that's a chance I'm willing to take because right now I don't want Brandon Rush shooting it at me. I don't want Mario Chalmers shooting it at me, and I sure don't want Russell Robinson doing it either.
And as well as they're shooting, they're going to have an off night, especially if they're going to become a perimeter team like they have been the last few games. Two or three of them, they might have an off night altogether. They need to be able to go inside and get that consistency in the half-court set, and they haven't been able to do that unless they're running or unless the guards are able to knock down that shot out of the zone. That's been the key so far. Someone's going to have an off night. They need to be able to go inside and slow it down and get some points the easy way until the guards are able to pick up their game when that night comes. And that may hurt them down the stretch. If Joseph Jones, for example, in that Texas A&M game doesn't get into foul trouble, he had a great first few minutes and was just pounding it down low, and they didn't have an answer for it. Luckily, he got a couple fouls, but you need big guys.
Let me ask you this, Keegan. Maybe as impressive as anything in that game, speaking of the guards, was, you know, all the fans were so upset about K-State and Missouri, but you saw Iowa State. Every time KU kind of got out there, they made that quick run, especially in the second half. KU took its largest lead at 16. Iowa State makes an 8-0 run on 2 threes. Then you see the poise of those young guys come right back, hit a couple baskets, and just really seem to settle down. Had those 2 losses not happened, would this team be as poised as they are right now?
Well, that's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that. You know, you always want to win, but sometimes you do learn from losing. And I think they've been through their worst. And the fact that it was also the nastiest crowd in Missouri. And they survived it and self-spun that brilliantly, I thought. Because what every time he talks about that Missouri game, you would have thought they were playing the Detroit Pistons. Because we played such a great game, except for that minute and a half. You know, and it's like he's so tough on these guys because he's so driven for them to improve that when he says something positive, they totally buy into it. They love it. They absorb it. And they believe that that was as positive as it was negative. Now the only question is, if they do get down to one of those final possession games, do they have enough strut to get it done? And I think with Mario Chalmers and Russell Robinson, they do.
Well, that's the difference now. Those two guys, early in the season when these games were close, they were not prepared to take charge and take that final shot and take control of the game. They are now. Mario or Russell would be happy to take the last shot. As we saw in Iowa State, Russell, I mean, he's shooting the ball great, but he made a couple of great moves into the lane, took some contact, and still got it in. Mario has been doing that of late, too. It's not all about the perimeter play. These guys are getting into the lane. Not only are they laying it in, they're stopping in that 5 to 10-foot range, getting that little floater to go. They're showing you a lot of different places to score from, and they're showing you that they can score with the basketball in their hand with nobody else around.
And Rush as well.
And that may be the next step for this team, that they play in a close ball game. They're not playing their best, but they get that win at the end because they've spun the Missouri thing, as you said, Tom, and it's turned into a nice little run once again. And they've won a bunch of games before that in a row, and now they've had a run since those two losses to K-State and Mizzou. But the next step for this young team, I believe, is they need to win one of those close games, and they need to do it with late possession and then maybe even finish it out with a couple free throws. That'll be key when they have one of those closer wins, I think.
But not tonight.
Let me ask you, it's not going to be – it could be a catch-em game. OU coming up. OU, who I correctly predicted would beat Texas.
And then backed up that prediction by saying KU would then turn around and beat Oklahoma.
Well – if they can win two here, they would have to be right back in the thick of the race. But is this a catch-em game
back
tonight?
Back in now.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. But, I mean, maybe even for the title.
Oh, absolutely. And right now, you're a game behind Texas, and you get to play Texas. I mean, if you're within one game and you get to play that team up there, then certainly you got a chance. Now, is Texas a better team? Well, sure. I think this year's KU team is kind of like last year's UT's team. You know, kind of really a year away from really adding all the pieces. But as far as getting back into the race, and you've seen it now. I mean, let's be honest. The Missouri game, as coach has said many times, KU played really well, and it's pretty obvious that Missouri played about 9 ladder rungs above what it's capable of. I mean, Thomas Gardner got lucky. He's a great player, but come on, he hit some tough shots. He hasn't hit anything since then. That Missouri team has been awful since it won that game. It played its title game. It's when Kansas goes to Columbia. Kansas doesn't play its title game against Missouri. That's a game on the schedule, and then they got better. And it's just another step.
And I don't think Self will let them have a letdown here tonight because – he just pounds it into their heads. We can't go anywhere if we start to believe we're good and we're satisfied. And he, you know how he is. He's just such a detail freak, and he's not going to let them get fat heads.
A lot of fans obviously have some revenge probably on their mind after last year's double overtime loss where Miles
Dara
clearly got
didn't
the rebound
travel.
And
got hammered. Hammered.
But the travel
hammered.
Call. But how much – that probably doesn't factor into this young team because
– hammered.
All the freshmen.
Dora hasn't
three
shot
guys.
Since either.
Daryl so. Dora, that's his last three-pointer made probably. I have to look it up.
On Valentine's Day.
Broke our hearts.
Ripped my heart out.
All right. Well, how about this for a topic? Micah Downs. Take it away, Tommy.
Micah Downs. Haven't we talked
well, that's a
that one today?
Segue.
Micah Downs at Gonzaga. I hope Micah realizes that Mark Few is going to be just as hard on him as Bill Self because if he realizes that – and is able to take it the second time, which sometimes happens with transfers, I think he'll be a real good player and maybe even has a future as an
Tom,
NBA player.
Tom, are you implying that Micah left because of the basketball here? We all know it's because of his personal problems, and that's why he went back home.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Huh?
Well,
hey, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, and 3 out of 4 freshmen are starting now and playing extremely well. And you would have liked it to be 4 out of 4, but hey.
Let's be honest. In July, we thought it was going to be 3 out of 3. We just didn't know that Brandon would be traded for Micah. So
there
we're right
go.
Back where we started anyway, because Brandon was just he was just thrown in at the last minute anyway.
Pretty good throwing, by the way.
That not bad. I think the upgrade was made.
Yeah.
I do think so.
Will KU feel the effects of Micah Downs' transfer in the coming years, though? Just like right now, boy, it'd be nice to have a certain man by the name of Padgett.
It'd be good.
Maybe even a Galindo early in
Galindo.
The season. Thank you, Sam, man. Galindo.
Senor Galindo está en la casa.
I guess it depends on a couple of things. Number one, how long will Brandon Rush stay? And number two, will if he does leave, will they be able to get Devon Jefferson? Kevin, you think Brandon will stay 2 years?
I say 2 years. I have it on weird authority. I can't reveal my source, but somebody that has maybe talked to Kareem Rush at some point in time, buddy of mine, he might be listening, that said that just simply asked him and seemed to get the impression that Brandon would be a two-year guy at Kansas and that he really, really does like it here. And that even if he could go pro this year, he'll stick around for another year because, number one, he does like it, and number two, he knows his stock will then improve.
That's interesting because I was told by someone that Kareem has been telling him, listen, don't hurry. And what's the KU's advantage here is that Kareem makes so much money. It's not like the family
needs
the
money. Exactly. I mean, that's a totally – he's making what, $3 million this year, I think, Kareem, something like that, $3.3 million. Yeah, family's probably doing just fine. There's no real need to hurry that up. And, you know, the big difference for Brandon now is if he comes out this year, I would assume he would be a first-round pick. But I'm going to guess it's somewhere in that 22, 23 to 28, 29 range. And that's, you know, you're getting down to the bottom of the first round. You're only going to make about $1 million a year on that first 3 year contract. Well,
yeah,
you wait. You wait and you graduate, you know, you wait and you come out next year, you're probably a top 10 pick if he continues to improve the way that we all think he would. Then you end up making a little bit closer to $3 million a year to $4 million a year in that top 10. I mean, that's a huge difference in your first
and
3 years. Instead of 3 or 4 million, you're making 10, 12 million.
Right. And your entourage can be 2, 3, 4 times as big.
Exactly. Which is important.
And that's the key. That is the key, the entourage. And if that's the case, if Brandon stays another year, and if you've got that core, and then the class that's coming in, maybe, Mike, you don't really feel the effects of that.
And who knows? I think the effect, we'll have to wait to see. Okay, you only had one scholarship remaining. Well, they're probably going to bring two more guys in. So we'll see who that extra guy is instead of Micah. And if it turns out to be Andy Samuelson, then we know the trade did not work out. However, if it turns out to be another McDonald's All-American or a top 30 or 40 guy that can really help the Jayhawks, certainly the trade will have worked out because then it'll hopefully be a guy that wants to be here.
And when a guy quits, the circle tends to get a little bit tighter as a team.
That's what we talked last year.
That's what I was going to throw out there, Tom.
They circled the wagons, that's for sure, this last week.
After I said my one-and-done podcasting gig. But I was going to say, DJ said, is there any effect from this Downs transfer? And I would like to think that our wily self, as we were talking about, probably turned that into me against the world. Hey, this guy didn't want to be here. You know, even people within this program, we need to tighten it up. That can only be a positive, right?
Yeah, it can be a positive. There may be times when they're stalling in the half-court offense, and we might say, gee, it'd be nice if they could put Micah Downs in there instead of Steven Vincent. But
That's a stretch, though, now, because when were they ever in that situation with him and he came into the game and he did it?
It's true.
He had two real good games.
Two.
Cal and Nevada.
Yeah. Okay, and they went 1-1.
Right.
So, you know, the trade-off, what do they do without Micah Downs in those two games?
1-1.
Probably go 1-1. They lose to Nevada, and they probably beat Cal.
They would have lost to Nevada by more, but they would have gone 1-1.
Yeah. Moral victories are no good anyway.
Sagarin, it would have, would have hurt their Sagarin rating.
But in all likelihood, Self's going to probably release Downs. Although the fans, you know, are always going to be upset when someone transfers. Isn't it more that, you know, just the mid-season transfer? Had he, you know, and when he looks back on it, maybe he would have said, hey, I probably should have gutted it out for a year and then made the move. Can people accept that more?
I don't care whether people can accept it or not. I what you have to care about is will Micah Downs make the most of his next opportunity? Because he didn't make the most of this opportunity. It was a great opportunity for him. Yeah, he didn't totally fit the style of ball they're playing because you got to play real good, aggressive defense, and you got to be real. He's fast, but he as far as a perimeter defender, would he defend the way Hawkins can, the way Chalmers, the way Robinson, the way Rush? No, not right now. So maybe he didn't perfectly fit, but he could have made himself a better player by turning his weaknesses into strengths, and he chose not to do that.
But I'm just saying, you look at all the transfers, and it's so rare to see somebody do it mid-semester, but who didn't get kicked off a team for disciplinary reasons.
Right.
Isn't that where it's probably most disappointing that, you know, you feel like he kind of gave up, that he didn't stick it out and maybe try to be the best he could, and then if it didn't work out, hey, no, you can't really fault him for doing it then.
Right, and even then, though, it might have been premature. Odarty Blankson, I remember, came to Marquette with Dwayne Wade and transferred after his sophomore year after starting for 2 years, and you never hear this, but he said it publicly, I regret transferring because the next year they make it to the Final Four. Can't remember what they did in the Final Four or who they did it against. Huh? It might have been a 33-point KU victory.
Odarty Blankson?
It wasn't. Don't be fooled. It wasn't that close.
And it wasn't.
Tough loss for your Golden Eagles this weekend, just like my Toss Staters falling again at the buzzer.
Yeah, Toss State, though, a big game for them on TV next weekend against Southern Illinois. Big determination of whether either one of those teams makes the tournament.
I think Toff falls out now of the bracket and to, KU moves in.
They would
that,
have to
over the weekend.
They would have to win one of those games against the other three teams in the Valley that are better than them. Let's talk about Kansas. Lunardi said they're back in the they're back in his brackets. They seem to be moving up. Is it too early to jump on them now?
I'd be stunned. I mean, all year I've been saying 90% that they'll
you
make the tournament.
Keep saying 11-5. So you're right on target.
Yeah, 11-5, no worse than that, I don't see. I mean, they're going to be in the tournament, and not only that, they'll be peaking at the right time. One of our Spotcaster listeners emailed me and told me that Sagarin has a column, I haven't even seen this column, that projects forward what their Sagarin will be, I guess, at the end of the year, and they have them at 14.
KU?
Yeah.
It's just dumb, isn't it? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I mean, conference play and all these teams are going to come back. You still got Oklahoma, you still got Texas. And Texas Tech tonight, they had a nice win over the weekend. Yeah, I mean, who cares? Honestly, they always talk about this strength of schedule and blah, 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 blah. And then, you get to the end and like, well, they lost 8 of their last 14 games. They're not going in strong. Well, that made everybody forget about those 3 wins they had sometime in November. And those wins are going to be much more important down the stretch because they want hot teams in the tournament.
Anywhere from a 5 to a 9 seed right now would be my guess. And I'd be surprised if it was as bad as a 9.
I think I've got them in as a 9 now. So they go from no man's land to 9. So if you do that by the 4 regions, that puts KU in the top 35 nationally.
Right.
And they were just way out a little while ago.
Well, I vote on the AP top 25 poll, and I had them considered. I think I had them like 32nd because I usually do about 35 teams.
And I looked on there, and they're moving in the middle of the pack of others receiving votes, which is about right now.
And they win 2 games this week. They could be ranked.
And Colorado's in now.
Colorado's
so that win, RPI, keep going up. You win another game like tonight. You got Oklahoma this weekend. Like you said, 14. It's going to be real close to that by the end of the year.
And it looks because of Colorado's play, there'll be another, at least maybe one more Big 12 team in there. You thought about 4 teams a couple weeks back. Maybe another team gets in there. Maybe the Valley, somebody loses out.
Yeah, you look at Colorado, Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas. Right now, you'd project those 4 teams as being tournament teams.
K-State?
Out.
Missouri?
Out.
NIT?
Nebraska?
Way out. Never
Although,
in.
Nebraska rebounds nicely after taking one in the in the lower region.
The Big 12 the field is just an insane conference this year. Look at what teams did early in the Big 12 season, and then you do that whole comparative thing that Tom Keegan talks about. It's ridiculous. But back on topic with
Utah
Kansas. Utah Valley State is the best team in the land. Kansas should get an easy win tonight. I think if they play like they've been playing, this game should be over midway through the second half if they keep playing that way. And then it's all about Oklahoma this weekend. And as you guys said, if they win against Oklahoma, I think they're in the rankings. And then they can really start concentrating on playing some great basketball, maybe taking a runner to Texas down in Austin, something like that. But, again, Jayhawk fans, don't get all upset if something goes wrong in this weekend against Oklahoma. This team has proven that it's going to play some good basketball in stretches, and it's proven that there's going to be an off night here or there. And so I think when everybody was jumping off the bandwagon 2 weeks ago and now they're all loading back on it, it's another year for Kansas. This team is growing, and they're playing very good basketball.
And I think the best part for Kansas right now is a 4-2 in the conference. 4 games already played on the road. You've played half your road games already.
3-1 on the road.
Yeah, you've played half your games on the road. You've only got 4 left, and you got 6 coming at home. It's looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, and usually Kansas only drops 1 or 2 at home. Maybe they've already had that 1 or 2 with the K-State loss. Obviously, Oklahoma's going to be a big test with my boy Taj Gray. And
from
they got some. How about Everett in that game, too? They actually hit a couple shots.
Everett, I don't know if you saw this. Were they bank shots?
They were
Everett's bank. Yeah, Everett's 3-point bank.
Beautiful.
Did he call his bank?
I think they might have called one, but those were beautiful
bank
shots.
When you hit more
shots.
Than one, though, you can start saying, I meant to do that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I've been known to call a couple bank shots. But how about this? DJ, are you saying tonight the only storyline might be whether or not Bob Knight does something?
Yeah, the only story night is whether or not Bob Knight comes at Tom Keegan sometime during the evening, I think. Now, Texas Tech is a weird team because they were out, was it the Oklahoma game a Saturday ago? They were out of the game in the first half, down 20-something. They scored like 6 points in 16 minutes, something ridiculous. And then by the end of the game, they're right back in that one. And there's just that weird factor. They're still a Bob Knight coach team, and they're still a team that always is dangerous to play, and they'll take you out of your tempo because they're going to slow things down, and it just – it might bother some of these young guys. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think KU is now above where this Texas Tech team is at and really should take it to them if they play their style of basketball.
I'm saying their first single-digit victory of the year, an eight-point victory.
I agree. He's going borderline, though.
I agree this is going to be a close game, and I also agree with DJ. I don't think you're getting the interview.
Especially after the
call. Did you make the request through the Texas Tech media relations department?
I figured I'd take an unconventional route.
I'm pretty sure he did not see your column today.
Oh, I bet you did.
I bet you did, too. Yeah.
Of course, nobody has to point it out to him. Bob Knight reads the newspaper.
Does he?
He's been reading the newspaper his whole life. Absolutely. And
He's got a library at Texas Tech. He's just angry when he reads them.
I don't think that column would anger him, do you?
No, not that column, but he just picks it up and gets angry.
In
he's
general.
Bob Knight. He's the general. He's
angry.
He's angry.
He might feel his wrath tonight, Tom.
What's your prediction, Rome?
I think KU wins this game. I think, you know, we picked Kansas last week. Two of us did anyway. Who did that?
I picked Kansas. What did you do, Kevin?
I picked Kansas.
So six sports pick Kansas.
I think some other guys.
LJ picked. World, Jerome.
I picked online. Iowa State. I figured if I'm going to pick them for five losses, Kansas, they got to lose somewhere.
Somewhere.
And then they didn't lose that one. Maybe I should realign it and go back to my original 13-3.
I think tonight's a pretty good matchup. It's kind of similar, really. Big guys are not going to be a factor tonight. It's going to be all about the guards on both sides of the ball. Jarius Jackson's really good. Martin Zeno's really good. Outside of that, I mean, who can you name, really, with the exception of
Dora.
Kansas fans being able to name Daryl Dora for obvious reasons. But Dora, you know how many points a game he's averaging this year?
Two.
Like five.
He's like the French guy for
Drama Diarra. Yeah, it's not a factor, really. He hit one lucky shot last year, and he'll go down in Texas Tech history for doing that. But I think tonight will be just a methodical Kansas win. I don't think it'll be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination, but I think Kansas will lead by double digits at times tonight, and I think they'll win a game with a similar different, I guess, point differential is the Iowa State game, although I don't think KU will get to 95 again tonight.
Nice, Texas Tech.
Yeah, who knew that, you know, the Hilton was going to have a hex on it. They've lost five games there this year.
They called it Hilton Tragic now? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I mean.
95 at home?
First time since 1990 a Big 12 opponent has done that.
I think it was 96, wasn't it?
And KU was not running offense for the last 3 minutes. 85. I mean, if Kansas was attacking the basket like it had been for the first 37 minutes, they would have got Jayhawks would have gotten to 100 easily. Yeah.
And Kleiman would have had the 100th. He's pretty good.
He's not bad.
I said that. I like how he plays in the last year.
Can he be
year,
playing right? worse than CJ and Sasha right now?
Not much. No, he wouldn't have been in that game, though.
No.
It's too close a game.
True. I'll take KU by 14.5.
Wow. That.
Two touchdowns and then that half there. Swings.
That's interesting.
Swings how you bet.
We don't advocate that.
All right. So KU by double digits, though. I say that. They keep on their streak. KU wins by more than 10.
Micah scores 14.
Wednesday, pick up a Powerball ticket. $150 million.
Really? You're working for the Kansas Lottery.
Kansas Lottery,
now,
huh? Pumping our show now? Do they do that with Spodcast?
Well, if this one-and-done Spodcast thing doesn't work out, I'm going to keep playing the lottery. All right. Well, that's going to do it for another edition of the Spodcasters. Tom Keegan, Kevin Romery, and DJ Wetter join me in the Spodcast studio in Lawrence, Kansas. We'll talk to you later in the week, talk about how this Texas Tech game went and the upcoming Oklahoma game, and maybe get Ryan Wood in here for some football recruiting news.
Good deal.
All right.
I like it.
See you guys later.
Later.
Like what you just heard? Then spread the word about the Spodcasters. It's sportscasting meets podcasting on your computer. No iPod? No problem. You can still get the Spodcasters online. Just point your mouse to kusports.com, click on the Spodcasters logo in the right column, then kick back and listen. Spodcasters, sports talk, online, anytime.